Thank you, Pastor Gerard. It's always such a privilege to be here with you on a beautiful Sunday morning to worship and to praise Jesus. Amen? That's why we're here. Amen? To lift up and exalt the name of Jesus. I'm here with my son, Caleb, and my wife and my other three children. They're back at our church. They're in 8 Mile Plains. They start their service at 10 o'clock. So they'll be starting in the next 10 minutes, and we're already getting into the middle of our service here. Isn't it good that on a Sunday morning there's churches all over the place praising and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. And so once again, thank you, Pastor Gerard and the team here for inviting us to come and share the Word of God. And we pray that every time that we are here, we leave a deposit of God's Word in the hearts of those that are assembled, and that God's Word will produce fruit. Amen. I'm always telling my church that the Word of God is only effective as it is actioned and as it produces fruit in our lives. Amen? We don't want to be just hearers of the Word. We want to be doers of the Word. Amen? So this morning, as we open our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 6, I just want to share for a few minutes a thought there in Acts chapter 6 and pray that you would be blessed by this message in Acts chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 1. And really, I just want to concentrate on the first few words in that verse and just open it up this morning. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Do we have it? Come on, if you have it, say amen. If you have it, say I have it. If you're still looking, we'll wait. Amen. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. If you don't have it, you can look up at the screen. It says this, and notice the first four words in this verse. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied. And we'll stop there. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. I was reading that verse one day, and the Holy Spirit drew my attention to the first four words, and in those days. And it just began to open up to me and in my spirit to think about those days. How was it in the days of the early church? In those days, something, and then there's a comma, and it continues to say the number of the disciples was multiplying. The church, with the Great Commission, armed, amen, given the responsibility of the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 2, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, and the church is birthed, and we see a vibrant church. We see a powerful church. See, the book of Acts is, I believe, the blueprint for what a church should look like. Amen. It is the textbook for how the church should be designed. I planted the church with my wife that we are pastoring right now, which is called Gospel of Power Church. And we planted it, actually next Sunday, we're going to celebrate our eight-year anniversary. And it was a church plant. It wasn't a transfer. We didn't start with a team and with a budget. I often laugh at sometimes at people that say we planted a church and they already had 40 people in a school hall, the first service. We started from zero with my wife and my three children at that time. And my son was 8, 9 years old, like my Caleb, and he's playing the drums. My wife was leading the worship. And we just had one brother that came with us, and he said, Pastor, what do I do? How many chairs do I put out? I said, put 40 chairs. Let's just by faith believe that we're going to have a crowd here this morning. We hired a little hall there in Mount Cravat, and to our great surprise, 28 people came to that first service. Amen. And we had a dream. We had a vision. We had a word from God. We were armed with a great commission, with a word from God, and the church was birthed on that day. And thank God the church has been growing and increasing, and we're seeing God move. We're really seeing God move. But what I want to say is the year before we started the church, we planted the church, I heard the Lord say to me specifically, study intensely the book of Acts. Study the book of Acts like you've never studied it before. And I had done a study before on the book of Acts, but the Lord said, study the book of Acts again. And I heard him say, because the book of Acts is the textbook for how the church should be designed. Amen. In the book of Acts, we see a reflection of what the church wants, what God wants the church to look like. And so when we get to the chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days, I got to thinking, how were those days? And praying that we need these days what they had in those days. We need these days what they had in those days. The church of God in this nation desperately needs these days what the church had in those days. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. See, we've got more than ever before. We've got greater technology. We've got microphones and we've got auditoriums and beautiful setup, which is nice. In those days, they didn't have these things. In the days of the book of Acts, they didn't have a microphone. They did not have television. They did not have radio. They did not have auditoriums. They did not have a piano. In those days, they did not have these things that today we have. But in those days, they had something that we so desperately need today. They had the power of the Holy Spirit. They had, hallelujah, signs, wonders, and miracles. The grace of God was upon His church. In those days, they saw things that you and I can only dream of in these days. But I believe there's coming a day that we're going to see in these days what they experienced in those days. Can you say amen? Come on, if you believe that, say amen this morning. We are, God is raising up a people. God is raising up individuals. He's raising up churches that are desperate to see in these days what they experienced and what they saw in those days. Without the money that we have today, without the technology that we have today, without the beautiful setup that we have today, they still experience the power and the glory of God. Therefore, with what we have at our disposal today, as a 21st century church, we should be able to go beyond what they experienced in those days. How many believe, can you say amen this morning? Those days, and in those days. So if you can just close your eyes and just picture in your spirit, how were those days? How were those days? Oh, hallelujah. And something jumps in my spirit that I want to see what happened in those days, in these days. How were those days? And in those days, comma, something was happening in Jerusalem. Something was happening in the church. We see here the numbers of the disciples was multiplying. Disciples were multiplying. There was growth. Acts chapter 5 verse 12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done among the people. In verse 14 of Acts chapter 5, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Verse 15, the sick were brought into the streets. They were laid on couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them and heal them. In those days. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they had a prayer meeting. Hello? They had a prayer meeting. It wasn't a prayer meeting like we're used to. When they prayed, the Bible says, and the house where they were praying shook. In those days, they had shaking prayer meetings. Hallelujah. When was the last time you prayed and the house shook and the building shook? Come on, church. When was the last time when we prayed and we felt the power of the Holy Spirit electrifying the room? Hallelujah. In those days, when they prayed, the house shook. The verse 16 says, notable miracles were being done. Acts chapter 3 says there was a paralyzed man who was healed when Peter came up to him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And the guy got up and he started walking, and the Bible said he started running, and then he said he started jumping and he started praising. Hallelujah. In those days when the people saw that this man who had been paralyzed, who's now walking and jumping and praising, a huge crowd gathered, and Peter began to preach the gospel. 5,000 people get saved. In those days, hallelujah. We think we have a Holy Ghost revival when 5 people get saved. 5,000 people get saved in those days. In Acts chapter 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Peter got up and preached the first New Testament sermon, and 3,000 people got saved and baptized on that day. In those days. What can we testify about what's happening in our churches? I believe we can see those days once again in our churches. How many of you can say amen to that? I believe we can see again in our churches what we read in the book of Acts. The church in book of Acts was the salt of the earth. The church was fulfilling the Great Commission. The church was impacting the world. We are the salt of the earth, church. God has called us to be a distinctive quality in our community, to add flavor to our world. Amen. To preserve our world. The church is God's greatest organization on the earth. It is the door, the church, between heaven and earth. Oh, when someone comes into our churches, it is the closest thing to heaven that they should experience. Amen. When they come into our churches, it should be one step away from heaven. It should be a door, a portal to heaven. Like what Jacob said, there is an open heaven. The church, this mystery of the church, that God's design was for the church to be His mouthpiece on the earth, for the church to be His representative on the earth, for the church to be the ambassador, His ambassador on the earth, so that when people came into contact with the church, they got a little glimpse and a little picture of what heaven's like and what God's like. Amen. They experience a little bit of heaven on earth. The church, the mystery of the church, the greatest organization on the earth. There's no organization on this earth like the church. The power that the church has at its disposal, if we tap into it, we're going to see those days become a reality in our days, and people are going to flock to our churches. People are going to get healed. People are going to get saved. Marriages are going to be restored, because the presence and the power of God that we see in the book of Acts is available to us today. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Come on, can you say amen? Can you say glory to God? We are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its flavor, its savor, it's good for nothing. I want to challenge this church here in Caboolture to be the salt of this community. To be a place where people experience the power and the presence of God. The prayer of Jesus was, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Every time you see the kingdom preached in the Gospels, you will always see miracles. Always. Because, and you can do a study on it. I've done a study. Whenever they preach the kingdom, and go and preach the kingdom. Go and preach the kingdom. And when Jesus preached the kingdom, and he healed the sick. And they preached the kingdom, and they healed the sick. Why? Because it's giving people a glimpse of the kingdom. It's giving people in the kingdom, there's no sickness. In the kingdom, there's no disease. In the kingdom, there's no oppression. In the kingdom, hallelujah, all there is deliverance, healing, hallelujah, salvation, restoration in the kingdom. Can you say amen this morning? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, and notable miracles were being done. Actually, let's read that quickly here in Acts chapter 4, because I want you to see this. I think the Lord wants to set this church up. Hallelujah. Some people don't even go to the book of Acts. They say, man, we need to have what we had in those days. And they talk about the 50s and the 60s. If we could just have a little bit of the 70s and the 80s. Amen. Look what Acts chapter 4, verse 16 says. This is when the paralyzed man was healed. Look what it says here. That verse 16, they were saying, "What shall we do to these men, the church? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them. It is manifest to everyone that dwells in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it." That's what I'm praying for my church. That's what I'm praying for our church, that such notable miracles are done that the world cannot deny it. I mean, you cannot deny it. It's notable. It's there. I mean, we can oppose it. We can threaten them to stop as they did after this. But we cannot deny that this man was paralyzed and he's now healed. It is obvious. It is plain. You can see it with your eyes. It is a notable miracle. How many of you would like to start seeing some notable miracles? Like, you notable. You can notice the miracles. And I'm not just talking about miracles of healing, but miracles of changed lives. Miracles of character. Miracles in personalities. Miracles. Notable. You've changed. It's notable. It's notable. The church has the power of God. It's notable. Indeed. Notice that word. Indeed. It says there, a notable miracle has been done by the church. And it is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. When are the miracles going to start happening that it goes outside the four walls and it's noticeable to the community? In those days. We can have what they had in those days. Indeed. Everybody say indeed. Indeed. It doesn't say in word. It says indeed. In other words, action. Indeed. In action, a notable miracle has been done. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not word only. It is word and power. The Apostle Paul says, "For my preaching and my teaching is not with words of man's wisdom only, but it is a demonstration of the Spirit and power." I think that we need to start seeing some indeeds in the church. We've got too much in word. Amen. We need the word, but we need the power. Are we here this morning? Hallelujah. If I'm a bit too excited, that's my Spanish blood. Hallelujah. That's my Spanish blood. And I'm really containing myself. Hallelujah. I'm excited when I talk about these things. Amen. Man, just imagine, we cannot deny it. a notable miracle has been. We cannot deny it. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to see that in our churches? They cannot deny it. They cannot contain it. They cannot stop it. The Great Commission includes great miracles. Think about that. The Great Commission includes great miracles. Go into the world and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believed. Then in Mark chapter 16, the last verse of Mark chapter 16, look what it says. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And they went forth and they preached everywhere the word, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Everybody say, word and power. Word and power. They preached the word and the Lord confirmed the word with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. We need the word and we need the power. In those days, they had the word and they had the power. In these days, we have a lot of word and we don't have enough power. But that's going to get ready to change. Hallelujah. I think that's going to start changing. Praise God. We're going to see a reflection of the book of Acts in our churches once again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days. Everybody say, in those days. Say, we don't want just speculation. Come on. Say, we don't want just speculation. We want demonstration. They didn't speculate in the book of Acts. There was no speculation, is God real? There was no speculation, does God heal? There was no speculation, does God do miracles? There was demonstration. See, speculation is just theory. Speculation is a word, is a theory with no manifestation. And if we're not careful in the church of the 21st century, we run the risk, and that's why we get targeted, is because we speculate. We have a theory without a manifestation. Come on. I'm preaching to you this morning. I think God wants to speak to you individually and speak to you as a church that this place will be a place of notable miracles. Hallelujah. This place will be a place not of speculation but demonstration. Hallelujah. Can you say amen this morning? This place will be a place where in Acts 4, the enemy was threatened by the church, that he was threatened because the church was a threat. Today, no one's threatened by the church because the church is not a threat, because we've gathered in our little corners. We're having our church services. We're on our way to heaven. But God's called the church to do more than just go to heaven. God's called the church, hallelujah, to be the church, to be the power church, to be a church of the anointing of God, to be a church where notable miracles are done. The kingdom of God consists not of word only, but of power. How many of you would like to see manifestation? Let me just give you three M's that they had in those days that we need in these days if we're going to experience what they had. They're very simple. Very simple. Three M's. Number one, why did they have in those days what we need in these days? Three things. Number one, M, they had a message. They had a message. So if we want to experience what they had in those days, in these days, number one, they had a message. They had a clear message. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The message that they preached was a gospel message. If you read Mark 16, Jesus confirmed the message, which was the gospel. Now, that might sound so simple, but yet the truth be told, that if there's a fine line between preaching the gospel and preaching something else. See, God is only obligated to confirm the gospel message. And the apostles, what they did is they went ahead and preached the gospel. See, they didn't go trying to change the message. They didn't go trying to adapt the message. They didn't even go and try to revise the message. They preached the gospel. See, they were so confident in that simple message of the gospel. See, that's why Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, the Apostle Paul, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel. The gospel still has the power of God. In the gospel is encapsulated the power of God. The gospel. This is why these guys, wherever they went, they preached the gospel. They didn't change or adapt their message. As a matter of fact, if you read Romans chapter 1, Paul was about to go to Rome. And he says, "I'm going to Rome and I'm so hungry to get there. I'm so desperate to get there. I'm ready to go. And when I go, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm not changing my message because the gospel that works here is the gospel that works there." If you look at the word in the original where Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Everybody say creature. That word literally, if you look at it in the original, it has to do with the word as well as, apart from other words, culture. Culture. In other words, the gospel, hallelujah, that works for one culture is the gospel that works for another culture. See, I believe that if Mars was to open up and God was to send us to Mars, the message wouldn't change. Hallelujah. It'll still be preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. See, if you look at these men that have had such great impact in the world, like what the brother said before, Billy Graham or Reinhard Bonnke, these great evangelists that have impacted nations and have seen literally multiple millions come to Jesus. If you just sit back and listen to their message, it really is a simple gospel message. If you look at the healing revivals of the 50s, you will see it is a simple gospel message. I feel like sometimes we're complicating ourselves because we are really trying to be relevant to our culture. So because we want to be relevant to our culture, we feel we need to change and revise and make the message more relevant. When I believe, hallelujah, if we preach the gospel, if we preach it as it is, if we preach the Bible, I believe it is relevant. I believe in the Bible is all the answers for man's problems. In the Bible is all the answer for man's dilemmas. In the Bible is all the answers for man's sin. In the Bible is all the answer for the marriage problem, for the youth problem, for the teenage problem. In the Bible is the answer for depression, for stress, for suicidal thoughts, for sickness and disease. The Bible has the answer, church. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. When we start trying to change the gospel and don't say that and don't say it like that and be easy on this and don't say sin, we are ashamed of the gospel. What we are saying is we are ashamed of the gospel. We better change it. We better revise it. We better make it seeker friendly. That's like saying if I know that someone is going to fall off a bridge, I'm going to tell the person. Actually, let me give you another example. Well, let me say that one first. If I know that someone's going to fall off a bridge, do I beat around the bush? Do I say, "Oh, I better not offend him. I better say it. I better package it nicely so that he can hear me." I tell him, "You're going off the bridge, and if you keep going that way, you're going to fall off." That'll wake him up. If I go to the doctor, and the doctor, I've got a pain in my leg, and he checks my leg, and he feels a lump, and he says, man, how do I tell him nicely? How do I beat around the and try not to tell him that he has that there's a cancer there or there's a tumor? How do I say to him that it doesn't shock him? If he was to say that, he wouldn't be a good doctor. He's got to come out and say, look, there's a problem. There's a tumor, but this is the answer. This is what we're going to do. There is a way. The gospel is the message that we've been entrusted with. I have preached in many, many nations of the world, many and different nations. I've preached in the highly educated nation of Canada, and I've preached in El Salvador. I preached in Japan. In every nation, I preach the same message, the gospel. Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, miracles. Jesus is coming back for the church. There's a heaven, there's a hell. The gospel. I remember I was preaching in Japan. How long do you have, brother? Because I'm just in my introduction. Hallelujah. I will try to wrap that up very soon. I was preaching in Japan once, and it was a big auditorium. It was full of people. And I was preaching the gospel. I was preaching about faith. I was actually preaching about the woman with the issue of blood. And there was a man in the auditorium. I didn't notice him while I was preaching, but after the service, he came and he says, I want to talk to that preacher. He was Japanese, but he spoke English. He had studied in America. I come to find out he was the high priest of the Buddhist temple of that city. The high priest of the Buddhist temple in that city. He said, I want to talk to that man. And one of the leaders said to me, he always comes into our revival meetings, and we've seen him, we've picked him up while we videotaped the service. We pick him up murmuring and speaking under his breath against the people. They've got their own tongues and going against the preacher, going against the people. We picked him up. He said, can I talk to that pastor? And I went, I said, yeah, let's go and have a chat. We sat down with myself, him, and the other pastors, and we over a coffee, and he said this to me. He says, what do you have that I need? And then he said this to me, because tonight I could not come against the power that was on you. I could not come against what you were preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could not come against. And he said, what is it that you have? I said, do you have time? Hallelujah. And I started to preach to him the gospel. And I said, do you want to receive Jesus Christ right now? It was a big thing for him. He says, look, not tonight. He says, but something has happened inside of me. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Read the Bible. Talk to your friends about Jesus. Talk to them about the Word of God, the gospel. Number two, they had what I call, they had manifestation. They had manifestation. In other words, what they had was gospel living. Gospel living. They had a gospel lifestyle. These who have turned the world upside down have come here also. They were turning their word upside. Gospel living, manifestation. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. When they walked into a city, people knew they are disciples of God. They knew who they were. There was fruit of being a Christian. There was fruit of being a believer. There was a manifestation. Jesus is Lord of my life. They had gospel living. I believe we need more gospel living today than ever before. Some people will only see, the only Jesus they will see is the Jesus in you. We've heard that before. In the workplace, You are the connection between them and God. Gospel living, gospel talking, gospel thinking, gospel manifest, action, manifestation, manifest. I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I follow His word. I'm a disciple of God. I choose to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I choose to live my life based upon His godly principles. God's word is the manual by which I live my life. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. We've got to be different. We've got to shine the light. Hallelujah. In our workplaces. Shine the light in our schools. That when people look at us, they see something different in us. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. We act different. We talk different. Hallelujah. We look at different things. We go to different places. We shine the light of Jesus. We manifest that we are sons and daughters of God. The prophet Elijah said to the prophets, choose to the prophets and to Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. Stop halting between two opinions. The word halt means, who knows what halt means? It means stop skipping. Stop jumping between two opinions, between two belief systems, between the world and the church. Stop jumping between God and the devil. Stop jumping between holiness and unrighteousness. Choose whom you're going to serve. Amen. Choose which side you're on. Amen. Example of what it is to be a Christian. Give an example of what it is to be a believer. I don't want to go further into that, but we need to serve the Lord. Joshua said to the people, you can do what you want. You can choose what you want. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I still believe in the holiness message. I still believe in the holiness message. Hallelujah. I still believe in being separate unto the Lord. I don't believe in being isolated. But I believe in being separate unto the Lord. That there's a clear distinction between my walk with God and those that are not walking with God. And I believe that the Bible says the world is waiting, creation itself, for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. If I was at my church, I would be preaching this a little bit harder. But this is Pastor Jared's church, and I've got to be good. I've got to be good. I hope I'm blessing your church this morning, brother. I really do. I hope I'm blessing the church. But we've got to really, you know, the greenies manifest. They manifest, don't they? You know they're a greenie. They're hugging a tree. That you know they're green. The homosexual agenda, they manifest. You know they're homosexual. They are advocating for their laws, whatever. They manifest. You got to give it to them. They manifest. You got to give it to them. They talk. They go out there and they pass out flyers and they have an agenda. And the believers, where are we? See, these guys in those days, they manifested. You can imagine when Paul walked into a city, you can imagine every demon trembling. When this little bald-headed fat preacher walked into the town. They say he was small. They say he was a little bit chubby. And he had a problem with his eyes. He wasn't very attractive. But when he walked into a city, you can imagine the demons trembling. You can imagine the people going, uh-oh, someone is just coming to our city that's going to ruffle our feathers. Praise God. And the last one is? Have the piano? I don't know if someone can play the piano. It's not here. Or just pretend there's a piano behind me and just... Amen. No, that's okay. I'm going to be 2 more minutes. They had, and I've been saying it all morning, they had miracles. So they had gospel message, gospel living, gospel power. They had miracles. In those days, they had miracles. I believe in these days, we need a gospel message. We need gospel living, and we need gospel power. That's what I pray for in our church. We're praying every second Sunday night. We come out for 1 hour just to pray. I say, church, we need the power of God once again. We need the glory of God in our church. We need miracles to happen in our church. We need in these days what they had in those days. Disciples to multiply. The church to grow. The church to increase. I'm longing for the day that people cannot resist. When they walk into our churches, they know they're in the presence of God. When the hardened sinner walks in, and is as in the yesterday, 100 years ago, when those preachers would open their mouth like a Jonathan Edwards or a Charles Finney, people would tiptoe into the church as to not mess up what God was doing. Now, we understand we don't want to go that far either, because God, yes, He's holy, but He's also given us freedom to express ourselves. But it's that reverence that God is in the house. How many of you would like to see a gospel message? How many would like to see gospel living? And how many would like to experience gospel power? I want to encourage you. This is more than a teaching message. I'm just preaching. I'm just heralding a word for this church, that this church will be a gospel preaching church, that this church will be a gospel living church, and that this church will be a gospel power church, and that this church will have these days at what they experienced in those days. And as that begins to happen, there'll come a day when you're going to have to knock down walls. You're just going to have to fight, because people are going to come. You know what I have learned? People are hungry for the power of God. They're hungry. And so when they come into our churches, that's what they expect. They don't find it, they'll go looking for power. They'll go to the world. May God help us this morning. And may this message be something that would just stir in you a hope and a desire to see this happening in our lives. This week, as you live your life, express gospel living. Let people see in you that Jesus is your Lord and He's your Savior. Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands to the heavens. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We need these days what they had in those days. Thank you, Lord, because we don't want to be ungrateful, Lord. You've done some beautiful things. We've seen people getting healed. We've seen people getting saved. But we want more. We want more. We want people, Lord, on a Sunday morning to come to church, Lord, so excited, so that something good is going to happen. That somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get set free. Someone's marriage is going to be restored in a second by the power of the Holy Spirit. That a fame will go out in this community. That Jesus is in this house. That the power of the Lord is present in this church. That a fame will go out that God is moving. That there is a gospel message, that there is gospel living, and that there is gospel power at Hope Point Church, God in Caboolture. We give you praise and we give you glory. Is there anybody right now in this place that needs physical healing? If you need physical healing, I just sense right now, if you need physical healing, if there's an incurable disease, an incurable sickness in your body, I'm going to believe God for some gospel power this morning. I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to believe that you will be healed today. Today. If there's anyone, come out to the front. Come to the front now. We don't need the piano playing just to make us feel the atmosphere. Just if you need prayer, if you need healing in your body, if maybe you have been diagnosed with something, maybe they said you've got to have this medicine for life.